Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. And I'll be reading the verses 31 through 47. John, chapter 8, the verses 31 through 47. And you may have noticed an outline in your bulletins that it's not an outline of the sermon, but an outline of some structural things that are going on in our text. And you may remember from last week's sermon that we are in the midst of a dialogue between Jesus and his accusers, and Jesus is turning the tables on them concerning their accusations and putting them on trial before God the Father himself. And so this morning we'll continue in the midst of this section in John 8, and we'll be reading the verses 31 through 47. And let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things that Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me? Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Thus the reading of God's word this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 8. You will notice from your outlines this morning that we are in the midst of the third dialogical unit concerning the dialogue between Jesus and his accusers, in which Jesus turns the tables on his accusers. The context of our passage is that the Pharisees and some Jews are looking for a way to kill Jesus. Though they have already made up their minds at the end of chapter 7 that he is guilty, they are looking for a way to put Jesus on trial so that they can condemn him to death. But in the course of this dialogue with Jesus in chapter 8, Jesus turns the tables on them. Instead of them putting Jesus on trial and finding him worthy of death, he puts them on trial before God. And before God the Father, they are the ones found to be guilty and worthy of death. Jesus' first witness we looked at last week, Unit 1, is a witness for the fact of his divinity, that he is fully divine, that he is God, his origin and his destiny. In the second unit, verses 21 through 22, or 29, we looked at the understanding of Jesus' salvation, that he has come from heaven as Son of God, fully God and fully man, to bring about salvation. For only God could do it. No man could do it. No man could pay for the sins of many people or even his own sins. For every man born into this world is a sinner. But God's Son could pay the price for the sins of his people. And now this morning we come to the beginning of the third unit in John 8. This time Jesus makes his defense in terms of redemptive history. That means he is defending his mission, he is defending his purpose, he is defending his deity and salvation through the redemptive witness of the Old Testament scriptures, which was so precious to his very accusers. And as we said at the beginning of this message, Jesus turns the tables on them. Instead of finding him guilty of a crime worthy of death before God, Jesus points out their sins and that they, by rejecting him, are worthy of death. You notice that the third unit is divided up into various sections, three separate ones, A, B, and C, on your outlines. In each portion of this section, Jesus makes a statement. It is followed by a misunderstanding of his listeners, and finally concludes with an explanation. This happens three different times in the verses we read this morning for our scripture reading. And this morning we are going to look in detail at each particular section. You notice the first one begins with a statement of Jesus concerning those who belong to him and what it means for their life. To those who believed in him, verse 31, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Now, some of your translations word it that if you abide in me, or if you abide in my word, you are really my disciples. Jesus goes on to say in 32, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The Jews present there do not understand. Their misunderstanding is described for us in verse 33. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Now, perhaps you're puzzled by their misunderstanding. Because as descendants of Israel and of Abraham, they were once in slavery in Egypt. As descendants of Abraham and Israel, their people were led into Babylon, into slavery, into captivity. They are currently living in the land of Judah, and we know the Romans are rulers of the land of Judah. How can they say to Jesus, we have never been slaves of anyone? How can you say that we shall be set free? They must know that when Jesus has declared the truth will set you free, there must be a spiritual meaning to what our Lord is saying. And as Abraham's descendants, as children of the covenant, they see themselves as children who are free because they belong to God. Jesus answers in verse 34, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Jesus is speaking in terms of the spiritual freedom that only he has come to bring. And in verse 34, Jesus declares for us a verse describing the bondage of the will. Jesus has declared that every man born into this world, every man and woman born of Adam and Eve, are enslaved to their sin. They are all born in sin, and they have no freedom. Their will is enslaved. They cannot stop sinning without the power of God. They have no free will as being in bondage to their sin, for given the choice, they will always sin. Jesus goes on in verse 35, "Now a slave has no permanent place in the family." They are slaves to their sin. Jesus has called them slaves in bondage. And when he thinks of a slave, we think of someone who is a slave of a particular household, someone who is owned, but someone who, as a slave in that household, does not have a permanent place. They can be removed. They can be sold. They can be left as they are outside of the family. But in the second half of that verse 35, Jesus declares, "But a son belongs to it forever." Now we know that Jesus is the Son. He is the Son of God. But the S is small in this verse. Jesus is referring to the fact that those who have believed in Him, those who abide in Him and His teaching and are His disciples, they are sons. They are adopted sons of God. God becomes their Father. They are His children, His adopted sons. They are part of the family of God. And they belong to God and to God's family forevermore. Because they have believed in God's Son, Jesus Christ, the truth has set them free. They belong not to an Old Testament covenant under Abraham, which is connected through bloodlines. They are no longer enslaved to sin, as through Adam, when he came into this world, when they were born into this world. But they become sons of God. Indeed, Jesus said, verse 36, "If the Son," capital S, "sets you free," that's Jesus, "you will be free." If you believe in Jesus, you are no longer enslaved to your sin. If you believe in Jesus, you have free will, for He has freed you from your bondage and slavery, and He has enabled you to believe in God and to do what is righteous in your life before God. No longer are you enslaved, but the truth has set you free. The truth and the life, the Son, has set you free. And you belong to His family as a son of God forever. For God in heaven is your Father, and you are saved by the Son, Jesus Christ. Well, that concludes the first statement, misunderstanding, explanation. But it also leads into the next section in this third unit that begins in verse 37. "I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word." Jesus acknowledges that they are born of Abraham. They have the right bloodlines as children of Judah, as children of Israel. They are connected with the 12 tribes of Israel from the Old Testament time under Jacob. They are connected with the time of Abraham and the promises of Abraham by their bloodlines. But they're trying to kill him. They don't believe in Jesus' word. And because they do not believe in Jesus' word or abide in Him, as Jesus described in verse 31, Jesus goes on to say this in verse 38, "I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your Father." In this verse, Jesus begins the contrast upon which He will build in the following dialogues. There are two fathers. There are those who believe in Jesus as their Savior and are adopted as sons of God, and their Father is God the Father in heaven. But now Jesus is speaking of those who have rejected Him, who have no room for Jesus and God's Word in their hearts, they have a different father, even though they are sons through bloodlines of Abraham. Well, his listeners don't understand. Verse 39, Abraham is our father. We are descendants of Abraham. We are from the correct bloodlines. We take pride that we belong to the covenant that God made with Abraham so long ago, that because of our bloodlines and our connection with Abraham, we recognize him as our father. But Jesus corrects them. If you were Abraham's children, verse 39, then you would do the things that Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. Can you imagine Abraham being alive in Jesus' day and doing what these people are doing in John 8? Abraham plotting to kill Jesus because they don't like what he's saying. Abraham plotting to kill Jesus because he's not the kind of Messiah that he wanted. He wants a Messiah who's going to come and lead the armies against Rome and establish once again a nation of Israel on earth. And because Jesus is that kind of Messiah, he's going to work at trapping him, finding him guilty, tricking him with his words, and condemning him to death. Those are the things that they are doing to Jesus. And Jesus said to them, if you are really Abraham's children, you would not do such things. You would do the things that Abraham did. And what is it that Abraham did? Abraham recognized his understanding of the sacrifices before God. He knew he was a sinner. He knew no matter how much faith he had in God, he would still be a sinner and needed shed blood for the sacrifice to cover his sins. When God told Abraham to go on the mountain with his only promised son, Isaac, he walked up the mountain and he placed Isaac on the altar and he was ready with the knife to stab him and put him to death. And Hebrews tells us that Abraham believed, Hebrews 11, that God would raise him from the dead. Abraham understood the things of Christ. Abraham understood even far into the future that God would bring about salvation through his son Jesus Christ. Abraham perceived and knew that sacrifice and shed blood is how God would save his people. Abraham understood that it wasn't about establishing an earthly kingdom, but it was about the forgiveness he needed for his sins and his faith in God. Abraham knew that this world was not his home, but he belonged to God his Father in heaven. And so Jesus is telling them, yes, Abraham is your father through bloodlines, but that isn't good enough. Just because you're born into the covenant through the bloodlines doesn't save you. You have to believe in the Savior that God sent. You have to believe in God's Son who alone can free you from your bondage to sin. For even though you are born of Abraham, you are still enslaved to your sin. And you do the things your own father does. Verse 41. What does Jesus mean by that? The beginning of section C on your outlines. You are doing the things your own father does. Remember, Jesus has set up the contrast between fathers. There is those who are children of God and are adopted by Him as sons. There are those who are not children of God, the Father in heaven, who are trying to kill the Son. And who is their father? They don't understand. They respond again with another misstatement. Well, we are not illegitimate children. Some of your scriptures read that say, we are not born of fornication. It is a sarcastic response to our Lord. They are reminded that our Lord was born of Mary. They do not see Him being born of God and born of man. They see Him born of Mary before Joseph and his wife had come together. They look and point out and say of Jesus, well, you are an illegitimate child. You are born of fornication. We aren't like that. And they go on to say, the only father we have is God Himself. You have two fathers, Jesus. Joseph, you say, is your father. But you were also born of fornication. We just have one father, and it is God Himself. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and am now here. I have not come on my own, but He sent me. If God were truly your father, as you say, you wouldn't be trying to kill me. You would love me. You would abide in me. You would abide in your word. I came down from heaven. I came from the Father. The Father sent me, and you are rejecting me. Why is this not clear to you? Verse 43. Why is it that you are unable to hear what I say? Verse 43. It's pretty clear, isn't it? You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out what your father's desire is. Your father was a murderer from the beginning. Is that not how he enslaved you and enslaved all mankind into their sin? Adam and Eve were created in the garden and the devil was there. Adam and Eve were told not to eat of the tree and he told them that they could eat of the tree. He told them that they would be like God. He told them that they would not surely die, even though God had said they would surely die. And when they were tempted and followed His counsel, the way of pleasure, the way of sin, the way of disobedience, they suffered the punishment of God. They surely died. He was a murderer from beginning. He does not hold on to the truth. He is a deceiver. There is no truth in Him. When He lies, He speaks His native language, for He is a liar and the father of lies. And that, Jesus said, is what you are doing. Your father is not God the Father. Your father is the devil. You believe his lies. You live your life according to his lies. You continue to be enslaved to your sin. And in believing his lies, you reject the truth and the life, the salvation which only cometh through him. Verse 45. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. I am the truth and the life. But because your will is so enslaved, because you believe the lies of the devil who is your father, though you claim to be of Abraham, though you claim to have the white bloodlines, you reject the Son, the Messiah, and you don't. You do not believe me because I tell the truth. And then look at verse 46. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? How is it that he freed the will? How is it that he freed that will that is enslaved to sin? How is it that he freed the will of his people that believed in him, that they are no longer enslaved to sin? Because he did not sin. As God's Son, he came to this earth and did not sin. He did not follow the counsel of the wicked. He did not follow the counsel of the devil when out in the wilderness, when tempted on throughout his life on earth. He did not sin. He was not enslaved. He is not guilty of sin. And because of his righteousness, because of his death on the cross, those who believe in that perfect righteousness and that perfect sacrifice on the cross are freed from their slavery, are freed from their bondage of the will into sin, and believe on him and abide in him and are his disciples. Yet because I tell the truth, verse 45, you do not believe. Verse 46, if I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Why do you reject me? Because your will is enslaved. Why do you reject me if you claim that God is your Father and that you are from Abraham? Because your will is enslaved. Because you, verse 47, do not belong to God. He who belongs to God, here's what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Do you see the contrast our author has set up for us today? In the words of our Lord, there are those in this world who are enslaved to their sin and have no freedom, no bondage. They are in bondage no matter what they do. They cannot be delivered. It doesn't matter their bloodline. It doesn't matter what they do or say. There is only one way to freedom. And that way is found in God's Son. To believe that he came from God, to believe that he is God's Son, to believe that he died on the cross, to abide in him and believe in his word. And they are free. And those who reject him are in bondage to their father, the devil. Those who believe in him are adopted and become sons of God, not by bloodlines, but by their identification that they have in Jesus Christ. Who is it that you are listening to today? Is it the one who lies? The father who leads you down the path of sin and death and pleasure? Who by your bondage to your sin, you refuse to commit yourself to Christ or in believing in him or in abiding in him? Or is your faith set on the one God has sent? Is your faith set on the one, Jesus Christ, whose perfect righteousness and perfect sacrifice paid for your sin so that your will is free to serve him and to give him glory forevermore because you are a son of his house forevermore? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the contrast our Lord Jesus has set up for us. For Lord, as He has dialogued with His accusers, He has clearly showed that their Father is not the Father of heaven who sent His Son to save His people from their sins. But in their desire to kill Him, in their rejection of Him, in their refusal to believe in Him, they do not belong to You. O Lord, open our hearts to hear, to understand, to see, that we, O God, may believe in our Savior, that we, O Lord, may desire to serve Him and believe in Him and abide in Him, that we may be His disciples and sons of our Father in heaven forevermore. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.